Hi, everybody. Welcome to Unredacted Town Hall VIP special podcast for you VIP special people with Kurt Schlichter. And Arena's here, too. Great news. I'm doing this on Saturday in my car, as usual. I'm going to Santa Monica for reasons that are totally irrelevant. Anyway, I woke up to wonderful news that the Israelis had killed hundreds of Palestinians and also rescued some prisoners. The reaction, among the scum-sucking pieces of gutter trash was that this is the worst possible horrible thing. I can't believe the Israelis are so mean going out there and killing hundreds of Palestinians. There's civilians who just happen to be holding these people hostage. And, they say, the Israelis attacked a refugee camp where you were holding hostages, you pieces of shit. It was highly amusing. I love to rub it in, but the thing was, are 200 lives worth four? Yes. Every Palestinian, is worth less than an single Israeli that they've stolen. Yes, that is the calculus. If you are morally stunned by that, you're morally illiterate. I am not required to care about the enemy. You know who's required to care about the enemy? The enemy is required to care about the enemy. And one way they can demonstrate their caring about their own people is by not starting wars, taking hostages, and hiding them among civilians. But if the Israelis take out a couple hundred Palestinians, okay. Now, I know that's not my focus, but we regret all civilian casualties. I have a limited bandwidth for caring. I cannot possibly care about everything. So I have a hierarchy of caring. And the people who celebrate the stealing of my allies' hostages rate pretty freaking low on the caring hierarchy. So if you guys, obviously, if you don't want the Israelis to kill you, don't start a war with them. Don't take their hostages. Don't put the hostages in the middle of people. But I'm looking at it rationally, and you're looking at it rationally. A lot of people on Twitter, I'll never call it X, we're looking at it rationally. And what they were doing was they're saying, well, it just doesn't make sense. You started the war, and you kept them in a civilian area, and you did it. If you've got to understand, there's two ways of looking at the world. There is the normal Western way, which is an inquiry. We look at evidence and draw conclusions from it, including moral conclusions. Well, if you start a war, perhaps you shouldn't bitch like a little girl when you get your ass kicked by the people who you started the war with. Okay, our analysis is a search for truth. We look at the facts, and then we come to a conclusion based on the facts. The third world garbage and communist way, because the communists deal like third world barbarians, is to begin with a conclusion. The conclusion is Israel's wrong. Let's work back and figure it out how. And the reason that they're figuring out how is because at some level they understand that what they're doing is denying rationality. So they create a simulacrum, a kind of imposter analysis where they kind of have an analysis, but it's a completely flawed analysis and it doesn't matter anyway because they don't care. There is no set of circumstances in which Israel would be justified in taking the hostages back. So they just work from that premise. Israel is always bad. Therefore, anything you do mean Israel is good. Anything Israel does for its own benefit is bad. We come to the opposite conclusion, but we come to a conclusion. We use a rational analysis. Gosh, the Israelis are a democracy, and they're not a bunch of 7th century savages, and they're not a bunch of rapists and scumbags. I will side with them, but the barbarian side doesn't do that. So you've got to understand that when you're dealing with these people, you're really talking across purposes because their purpose is not to come to an analysis and a conclusion. Yours is. Now, you will come to the right conclusion with the analysis properly applied that Israel was absolutely right to go kill everybody in its path in order to save its hostages. They don't make that. They just come to the conclusion and work back. I want, and then they'll kind of work back only to make stupid people think that they're performing some sort of analysis, which they are certainly not. So it is, it's hilarious because I think more and more people are seeing this issue. Oh, there's a very nice dog in there. More and more people are seeing this issue, the issue that we're not having a discussion. We're not having an argument. Argument is necessary to a, when I say democracy, I'm using that as the generic term for the kind of, representative government. I know it's not a true democracy. Please don't go, Republic, I get it. Okay. I'm just using shorthand. Argument is necessary for it because democracy requires a search for truth. It doesn't require that you show up with the truth already in hand. Because anybody who shows up with the truth already in hand, that truth's already bullshit. Okay? It's already crap. And, more and more seeing that we can't argue. Because a lot of the Democrat Party has taken this in. Like the climate change thing. You're not even supposed to argue it. Argue it! You're denying it! Well, it should be denied because it's a hoax for communist or retarded people. And I got some grief because I've said retarded a few times lately. Somebody said, hey, you shouldn't say it. It offends people. And I'm like, I'm not saying it again about innocent people. I'm saying retarded people, stupid people, people who are, whose analysis is, non-existent, who are actively and aggressively stupid. So if you think I'm insulting you because you're retarded, if you're not retarded.
I'm like morally and ethically and
illiterate. Yeah, if you're not one, if you're somebody, they're developmentally disabled people. I'm not talking about developmentally disabled people. No one applies that term to developmentally disabled people anymore. We did when I was growing, because that was what they were called. And then that changed. Fine. But I'm still calling retarded, normal people retarded. So if that offends you, you're going to have to. Anyway. But it is really a retarded analysis, that the Democrats are using. They assume you're stupid. Or maybe they're stupid. I think both could be true. But we're, we need to understand that they find the lack of argument liberating. Because they don't have to justify anything except what they want. I want, therefore, it's good. If you argue, if you, look at facts and evidence and apply the rules and apply them, apply the rules to them, and you may come out with a conclusion you don't want. They don't want that. And of course, communists will always come to that because communism is a failed ideology. They don't care if it's a failed ideology. They want it because they believe they're always going to be the one who's chosen to write the poetry.
Yeah.
And you're the one who's going to be the guy hauling the shit down to the, dump. So I now refuse to argue. I mean, I argue for a living as a lawyer. And, generally legal arguments are about law and facts. Sometimes you get people pounding on the table. Often doesn't go great. Now, it does if you have, retarded jurors like the OJ jurors or retarded jurors like the ones in New York who framed Donald Trump. And don't give it, they were misled. No, there were two lawyers on. They knew exactly what was going on. They knew it was all bullshit. They knew every bit of it. Don't let them off. By the way, I know I'm doing a stream of consciousnessy stuff, but I want to segue. There was a letter that alleged Judge Justice Merchan sent to both parties saying, hey, someone wrote on a court website My cousin said they're going to, my cousin's on the jury and he said they're going to convict Trump. Yay. And the judge sent the letter to both parties. Okay. The idea being, oh my gosh, juror misconduct. Okay. If that happened, then first of all, I'm looking at this only in a pure legal context. The jury are a bunch of retards. The verdict is idiotic. It is against every kind of law, but I want to talk to you guys about how it will be handled, because this is handled within the framework of the law, though it has nothing to do with the law. Okay. So I want you to know what's going to happen. Judge Bertrand is going to do nothing. In any case, the judge would do nothing about juror misconduct at this point. The aggrieved party would do the investigation of the juror misconduct. They would go and try and take statements from the jurors. They would hire analysts to look at things more closely. Maybe the cops would get involved. I don't know. There is certainly subpoena Facebook, because that's apparently where it was read. See who this person is, if you can find what's his name, Mark Anderson or something. And then somebody named Mark Anderson came back and said, ha ha, I'm a troll. I was just, leading you on. Ha 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 ha. Okay, maybe that's the Mark Anderson. Maybe it isn't. Maybe the guy was initially a troll. I don't know what the answer actually is. Now, if it is real, if somebody's cousin told somebody else on the jury, we're going to convict them, is that... could that be a mistrial? Yeah, it could totally be a mistrial. However, there's something called the harmless error doctrine. Harmless error means, okay, it's an error in the proceedings. Did it change the outcome? Could it have been something that, or was it something? Because they're differing standards. Could it have been something that was likely to change the outcome, or did it change the outcome? If you have to prove it did change the outcome, that's obviously a much higher standard, then yeah, this totally could have changed the outcome. Well, could this have changed the outcome? And again, I know I'm taking this, I'm looking at it for this example, I'm treating this as a legitimate verdict. It isn't. But let's pretend it was, this is a hypothetical, we're pretending it is a legitimate verdict. If a juror on the jury told someone off the jury, yes, we intend to convict him, and we're going to do that tomorrow. Is that harmless error?
Well, isn't that misconduct?
Well, it's misconduct, but misconduct doesn't matter. Misconduct is only the first step. Was there misconduct? Question one. Question two, was there harmless error? Or what? Wait, was it? Question one is, was there error? Misconduct. Question two is, was it harmless? Harmless being defined as either very likely to change the outcome or... would actually did change the outcome. And I'm not sure. I don't know what standard applies in New York. The argument in a legitimate case would be, okay, they're going to convict him. And he just told someone, doesn't change the fact they convicted him. I mean, I'd love to tell you something different, but this is not going to get the case thrown out. Yes, there was misconduct. Could it have changed the outcome? Maybe. And a judge could say, yeah, that's just per se. I'm going to call that error or I'm going to call that non-harmless error and totally be right and totally be upheld. But Mershon, if it gets that far, if there's some sort of hearing on it, is going to call it harmless error. Assuming it's even true. How's Trump going to prove that? How's Trump going to prove that Rando on the internet was the cousin of somebody on the jury? I mean, I guess you could figure out who the internet Rando is, figure out if he's actually a cousin on the jury. And then you go to the cousin and go, did you tell that guy what they were going to say? And he says, no, my cousin's kind of a shit poster. He's kind of an asshole. I didn't do it. Okay. And then shit poster goes, yeah, I was just fucking around. He didn't really tell me that. So guys, it just adds to the atmosphere of scuzziness that this disgraceful miscarriage of justice has, but it's not going to end this case. It just isn't. And Mershon's going to rule that way, and that is not what is going to get this case thrown out. So Mershon was never going to throw this case out for juror misconduct, and will not. It is going to turn out to be nothing. And this will not be why the case gets thrown out. The case is going to get thrown out on jury instructions. The case is going to get on Mershon's own manifest bias and failure to recuse. And it's going to get out on a lot of the evidence that he threw in. It is a, it's going to get thrown out. It's just not going to get thrown out from that. So if you're looking for the one neat trick that's going to get this thing resolved, that ain't it. One thing they could do is say, hey, wait, take the sentencing off calendar. We need to litigate this out. Yeah, it might happen, but I kind of doubt it. I think it's going to turn out to be a big nothing. So I know nobody wanted to hear that, but that's what you need to hear because that's what's going to happen. Again, this case has it's a skin suit case. It's got the skin suit of a legal case, even though it isn't. So there you go. So that's where that is. But yeah, I'm thrilled about it. Back to the Israelis. I'm thrilled about it. Getting four people out. That's amazing. And the tears of the Palestinians are even more amazing. If you look at a map now, and there are very few maps. It's interesting. They don't show you maps of Gaza and where the tactical, deployments are, but the Israelis have blocked off the entire border with Egypt. That's where all the weapons and ammo comes in. That's how people go in and out. And they are going to be in the process of digging up these tunnels. And, it's gonna be quite a thing. Biden obviously wants Israel to lose. Did you hear? He went off on the, alleged International Criminal Court, which is just a big cluster, a big circle jerk. And, he was going off on that when they indicted, Netanyahu and stuff. And then George Clooney called, because George Clooney's, ass wife.
Yeah. Amal.
Amal works for him. And then,
right up.
Yeah. Biden changed his tune because, Clooney's doing a, fundraiser for him. Good God, he is the cheapest date on earth. They're so fucking seedy, you know? They're just, you know, so grubby. It's really quite remarkable. Shifiel son, Hunter, is of course being, charged with a gun crime because I was told that gun crimes are important, but not when it's him. He's being charged with this gun crime, even though they let, like, the big crimes
go,
and they let the statute run. That didn't stop with Trump. He's revitalized it. By the way, one of the things I think that we should do when we take power again, change statute limitations back. Open them up again.
Yeah.
It's been established. Time to get some accountability. Time to get some accountability.
Or do what they did with the...
See, they always say, well, you're going to invent crimes. We're not going to invent crimes. I have no intention of inventing a crime. I have every intention of prosecuting ones that maybe we let slip by. And of looking for them. Actively going out and looking for them.
The man I'll hope to be...
Exactly. Show me the man, I'll show you the crime. I don't like those rules. I was against that rule. But you know what?
They're the ones doing it.
I was outvoted. That's the rule.
They're the ones who are doing
that. That's the rule. Trump is going to come in office, prosecute, persecute his political enemies. Yes, he is. You correctly assessed this. That's exactly what's going to happen. Yes. And? Why shouldn't he look for him? He knows there's something wrong there. Why shouldn't he look? You looked on him? Well, he just wants revenge. I find, and I'll probably write about this more, I find the idea, and it's the sissy Republicans who are like, well, we can't, you know, we can't be seen as getting revenge. When did Republicans start being against retribution? Aren't we about, hey, you commit a crime, go to jail? Why is retribution now wrong when it's applied to our enemies? Why are we supposed to respect it when it's applied to us? I mean, they're saying respect what they did to Trump. Well, respect that verdict.
They don't think it's wrong.
Well, no, they don't.
You know?
No, they again, not a reasoned analysis.
I understand, but I'm just saying they don't care.
No, they don't care. Neither do I. All I care about right now is power. And I want to have power over my enemies. And it's probably not the optimal way to have a country, but it beats having my enemies have power over me, which seems to be my only other option. So,
Just us got to deal with these people within the party.
Yeah, you know, the Larry Hogan, fucking Larry Hogan. Oh, we must respect the jury. No, we don't. You know, if he just kept his mouth shut, maybe Maryland could have sucked a few dollars away from them. I wouldn't give 1 cent. Larry Hogan. He's not going to win, but he might come close. You know, what I love is the whole Virginia. Trump tied in Virginia.
Yeah,
how the hell? Now, they're both tied at like 42, which means there's like 16% undecided.
And they'll decide.
And then they'll decide. Well, I mean, they may decide one way or another. Who knows? Democrats got to spend money. It's another place they have to spend money. We don't have to spend money. We can just win or not win. I hope he does a couple of rallies. That would be funny. I would be laughing. I'm going to write about the Trump campaign's current status next week. So that would be good. My Monday Town Hall column is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty
good. Say it louder.
It is. It is amazing. The perch looked terrific.
Yeah. You're going to it's going to be my number one column of all time. God dang.
No.
Did you guys hit each other?
Yeah, he hit that car. Stop.
God, maybe not follow so closely, retard.
There was an accident, you dipshit. Yeah, he's trying to get out.
Yeah, I like how the guy tried to cross the line and caused an accident. Did he hit?
Yeah, he hit him.
Who, the blue guy?
No, he hit that white car.
The blue guy hit the white car.
No, but this truck hit that white car up above.
Oh, and here comes the fucking guy on the bike splitting lanes.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, well, you know, I don't know what to say.
Why didn't they pull over? Because I could have sworn they hit him. Maybe he did.
I didn't hear a hit.
It looked to me like a hit.
I saw one. It
looked close, right?
It looked close. I saw one there. They were like an inch away.
Yeah.
A different.
If he didn't touch him,
different.
Different. If he didn't hit him, that's amazing.
I didn't hear it back.
That was scary.
This guy's like a gardener. No, it's not bueno. Not, you know, he's got to be unhappy. Anyway, I'm happy. I'm happy because we've completed another Town Hall VIP unredacted session. I think it was amazing. I think people learned something.
Yeah.
If they're not going to get anywhere.
See an accident and see different things.
They can,
right?
They get to live. By the way, we're passing where Andrew Breitbart's buried, right out there. I was at his funeral. That was like an amazing event. The Andrew Breitbart funeral, and I mean, still pretty remarkable. I got invited. What was that, 12 years ago?
Hard to believe.
That's where I met Ace.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I met Ace of Spades. He became a pal.
You're thick as thieves. Is that how this
happens? Thick as thieves?
Yeah. You too.
Yeah. When we get together, it's appalling. It's
pretty damn
appalling. It's like the Much like the next article coming out. Okay. Everybody write, everybody read my town hall on Monday, and then there will be more Wednesday, Thursday. Stream of Curchases comes out on Fridays. Get the attack before it happens. You should go out. If you don't have it, you should go get it because it's really good. It is, it is selling huge. It is now sold more than the last three, Kelly Turnbull books.
Really?
And all those were bestsellers. Yeah, it's sold.
Awesome.
I've sold a lot. So I'm very happy about that. Writing a sequel to it. If I ever sit down and actually write, which would be a nice change. So anyway,
yeah,
I do have a lot going on. Follow me on Twitter at Kurt Schlichter. And, we'll see you, soon on the next, episode of Unredacted. Bye. Bye.